12 years ago, my wife and I welcomed three wonderful little children into our family. I have two of them here with me today. Jason and Jacob are with us. Amber's growing up and she's working a job. We're thankful for that. And so she's not with us. But we invited them into our home. We adopted them at ages 2, 4, and 6 years old. And so we often like to think that we skipped man-to-man defense and went straight to zone. Y'all know what I'm talking about? If you have three children that are ages 6 and under, you know what I'm talking about. You have two adults and three kids and you have to just watch them everywhere. You don't know what you're getting yourselves into, and I don't think we quite knew what we were getting ourselves into either. Well, one of my zones that I was responsible for was the backyard. And this backyard was filled with all sorts of wonderful toys that were given to us. Many of you that were here on faculty at that time gave us some of those toys. We had red wagons, we had Spider-Man baseball bats, we had Hulk Smash catcher's mitts, we had all kinds of different frisbees and whatnot in the backyard. And what I would notice over time is that these toys would just go missing. And I couldn't figure out what was happening to them. They just were just disappearing. I mean, we have a fenced in backyard. Nobody should be coming in to steal our different frisbees and whatnot. So I realized over time what was happening is the kids were picking these things up and just chunking them over the fence. I don't know why. I couldn't figure it out. They were 2, 4, and 6 years old. I guess that just comes with the territory. So over time, we did timeout. They were adopted, so we couldn't spank them right away. So we said, oh, look, we'll do timeout. Nothing was working. After we got to the point where we had them adopted and we're ready to begin spanking, I said, one of the first things we're going to do is we've dealt with this backyard toy thing long enough, okay? And so if anybody throws a toy over the fence in the backyard, it's going to be spanks from Dad. Is everybody clear on this? Yes, Daddy, we understand. We got you. Great. So I'm just continuing my normal day-to-day activity, and I'm walking through the house one day in my zone, the backyard. I happen to kind of take a look out there, and I see one of my sons back there, and he walks over, and he looks over one shoulder, and he looks over the other shoulder, and he picks up this ball, and he looks at it, and rears back and just chunks that thing right over the fence. I thought, I just got done telling everybody, do not throw any more toys over the fence. We're not doing this. So I brought him inside. I said, look, we talked about this. It's going to be a spank from Dad. But Dad, no, listen, we're not. There's no excuses. We're coming in. You know, this is... Dad, he's crying, and I'm starting to tear up a little bit because I'm new at this. I'm a young dad, and I get him in there, and so we give him a swat, and he's crying, and I feel like, well, I'm sad, but I did something good. This is all going to turn out okay. We're going to make it after all. And he looks up at me, and he says, Dad, it was the neighbor's ball. Oh, are you serious right now? I just, you know, you think you're doing something. Well, as an inexperienced father, a young and inexperienced father, we have a lot of pitfalls and challenges and possible mistakes in front of us when we correct our family. And the ministry of the gospel is really not any different insofar as any of us certainly are capable of making mistakes. But listen, when you are young in the ministry, when you are facing a whole new set of responsibilities and parameters, and for the first time, you might find yourself needing to correct somebody in your congregation and to correct them, just like an inexperienced and young father can make some mistakes in disciplining his children, a young pastor can make mistakes in dealing with his congregation. And make no mistake about it, the ministry of the gospel is a ministry of correction. When we are preaching and teaching God's word, we are teaching that which is inspired by God, used for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness. There is a ministry of correction that comes with God's word. And we need to be sure that we are thinking about this as we get into this. So we want to make sure that we understand how to do this work of correction. Now, thankfully, the Lord has given us in his providence, 1 Timothy, a letter from an older pastor, wise Paul, addressing his young protege in the faith, Timothy, who is probably about 30 years or so at this point in time. So he is young and inexperienced and in need of some instruction. So if you would turn in your scriptures to 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 and 2. It's just two verses is all we're going to cover today, but we're really going to try to unpack them and see what's here that will help us to do a good job in correcting the family of God. And so, by the way, that is the name of the sermon, Correcting the Family of God. 1 Timothy 5, just verses 1 and 2. Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters in all purity. I want you to notice with me a few things from this text. Our first point is going to be, when correcting the family of God, watch your words. Okay? When correcting the family of God, watch your words. What did the text tell us? Do not sharply rebuke an older man. Your version may say something like, do not speak harshly to an older man. If you dig into the Greek, what you're actually going to find is a word that only occurs at this one point in the New Testament. And it literally means that kind of thing that is a striking upon with your words, right? In English, maybe a way we might think about saying this is lashing out with our words. I think we've all identified with a time in our lives where we have just lashed out at somebody with our words and just struck upon them instead of treating them in a different way. So we're not supposed to strike upon one another with our words when engaging in a ministry of correction, but rather, verse 1, appeal to him as a father. So this is, in your translation, may say appeal to, may say entreat, may say encourage or something like that. The picture here in the Greek is coming alongside or even just calling alongside someone. Very different, isn't it? Striking upon someone with your words versus bringing them alongside and encouraging them and speaking to them in a way that is going to build them up and also still correct them, but build them up while you are doing this. Now, we've had a number of different times in our family where I have wound up blowing it. Just gonna be honest with you. I shared one with you earlier. I'm gonna share another one with you now. We had a couple years ago where the kids, we were gonna take them out to go see a movie. And we don't do this very often, sort of a special day when we get to do this. And so my wife and I had found a movie we thought was good. And so I went into the boys' room. I said, boys, special day. We're gonna get to go see a movie. Need you to get your shoes on, get your room cleaned up. We're gonna head out and do what we need to do here. And so, okay, great. So I head across the house to our bedroom and I sit down, I'm putting my shoes on and all of a sudden I hear some noises. It sounded like a hailstorm had formed somewhere in our house. And I thought, what in the world is going on? So I look at Jennifer, she doesn't know what's going on. I look outside, it's still bright and sunny, there's no hailstorm. So I rush into the boys' room and I find out that they were engaging in a pebble battle. Okay, so I mean, I walk in the room and pebbles are ricocheting off the wall and I'm having to protect myself. And I had let them borrow something that was kind of a prized possession of mine, which is my fish tank. I just really enjoyed keeping fish when I was younger. Got this when I was actually 16 years old, very old fish tank. And I decided, well, I'll let them use this thing. Well, they had some extra gravel. Those of you that keep fish tanks know what I'm talking about. These little tiny little pea gravel that they decided just for fun. You know, just to have a little pebble battle. So I get in there and I'm a little bit frustrated, as you can imagine, because we're gonna do something nice and now I'm having to deal with a discipline issue. And I start to talk to them and I can feel my temperature rising. You know what I'm talking about. You just feel like you're just kind of, I'm getting a little frustrated here, I'm talking, and the way I'm addressing them is I'm starting to talk a little bit louder and I'm starting to talk a little bit more forcefully and I'm really getting after them. And then I notice on the front of the fish tank, there is a little resplendent gleam, okay? I think that hasn't ever been there before. So I go in a little bit closer and I look, and sure enough, one of the pebbles had hit the fish tank at exactly the right angle to take a chip out of the front of my fish tank. This sent me over the edge, and I was just, literally, if we were to say what the text said, striking upon somebody with our words, that's what I was doing to the boys. And I way overreacted. Got way out of control on it, and really was giving them what for what was really just anything that a lot of us have done, that kind of thing when we were boys. That's nothing unusual. Needed to be corrected, but didn't need to be handled in that way. Had to go back to them later and say, boys, I'm sorry that I dealt with you this way, and that's not the way that we need to do this, and I apologize for this. And so we handled it. But it's very easy when we are dealing with correcting, especially when we're dealing with something that's very close to our hearts, something that we care a lot about, or something that's particularly special to us, like that fish tank was to me, something kind of special for my background, that when we're dealing with something that we care deeply about, there's great potential for that level of frustration and that level of anger to rise. At least it is for me. I don't know about for you. Maybe there's something else for you. But whatever it may be, whether it's that dealing with things that are special or whatever it is, we've got to really watch our words as we're engaging one another. And for me, dealing with my family is one of those times that it's something very important to me. And I think as you get into ministry in the local church, you're going to find that you care very deeply about that church. And if you find somebody in the church who is beginning to cause strife, if you find somebody in the church who's teaching something heretical, if you find somebody that is in need of correction for something major going on in the church, it's going to be something that's very near and dear to your heart. And I think the temptation will be for there to be a chance for you to escalate with your words rather than calming down. And we know from scripture in the book of James, you can read all about how difficult it is to tame the tongue. In fact, nobody can do it. And we can set a whole forest on fire with just a few words. So we need to be sure as we're correcting the family of God, number one, to watch our words, okay? Number two, we're gonna go back to the text here, and our second point is going to be, when correcting the family of God, encourage your elders. All right, let's read the text one more time. Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, to the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters in all purity. So we see Paul helping Timothy with how to use his words, and second, how he is supposed to relate to those who are older than him. So here, the word for the older men is the same word that we would get for, that we would use for elders. But in this particular context, that word does not mean elder, but just simply is referring to those who are older than Timothy is in terms of his age. So we have the older men, the older women, the younger men, and the younger women. And so as he's relating to them, he says, look, don't relate to them in a harsh way. And listen, you should relate to them like you would to a mother or to a father. We all know growing up what that's like to relate to somebody who has been in charge of us, who we respect, who we honor. And for me in particular growing up, my father was in the military. So we had a lot of respect that we needed to give to our dad. It's just a part of what we did and how my parents reared us. And one of my earliest memories that I have of going around with my dad was just as a little boy on the Army base. And he would, you know, walk with me and I'd be walking next to him. And as we'd go across the Army base, I would hear men that would address, and women that would address my father, good morning, sir. How you doing, sir? Good to see you today, sir. How's everything, sir? And if they were in uniform, then there would be a salute. And then my father would salute them back. And as a young man, this made a great impression on me, how much respect my father deserved, that he was a man of honor, he was a man of integrity, he was somebody that I greatly, deeply respected in how he instructed me and taught me as I went through. And so this is very important. As we're relating to those that we're correcting in the church that are older than us, we need to think about them like we would our mother or our father. As scripture says, honor your father and mother. One of my jobs as registrar here is to serve and dealing with matters related to academic probation and suspension. It used to be one of the things that I really didn't like doing very much, but I've kind of grown to love it over the years. Every once in a while, I'll have somebody come by that will be in need of, and the faculty are laughing because they know we have to deal with this from time to time. But we have to deal with it. It's an important issue. Now, sometimes, and not all the time, sometimes these things are related to family emergencies and different things. But on occasion, they are related to things that might require a little bit of correction. This is just the reality of what we're dealing with. We all need that from time to time. And so I can tell you, I don't know how great I've done. I've really been striving to do this over my time here. I hope that if you are one of those ones who's maybe come to see me, who's been older than me in terms of age, and I've needed to encourage you in some way with maybe using time management a little bit better or working a little bit harder, figuring out how to put more diligence into what you're doing, that as you came to see me, I can tell you how I thought of you. I hope it came across. I would look at you and I wouldn't see you. I would see my dad, the colonel. That's who I'm addressing. That's who I'm talking to. And I hope that I treated you with the respect and the dignity that you deserved and treated you like I would have treated my own dad if he was there, because that's how we are to treat one another when we are correcting those who are older than us in terms of their age. All right, so we want to watch our words. We want to encourage our elders. And secondly, we want to strengthen our siblings. Okay, strengthen our siblings. We're gonna read the text again. Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters in all purity. So the text takes maybe something of a little bit of an unexpected turn here. If you're thinking, okay, Paul's writing to Timothy, and if you didn't have the whole text, you just had the first half where he said, okay, when you deal with somebody older than you, treat them like you would a mother or a father, you might think, well, then when I'm dealing with somebody who's younger than me, I should treat them like my children, like a child. But that isn't what the text says, is it? It says when you're relating to somebody who's younger than you, you relate to them like a brother or like a sister. The relationship we have with our brothers and sisters is a very special relationship, and it's a different one than the one we have with our parents. It's one where we spend a lot of time together. We love each other. We care very deeply for each other. We've probably been through a lot of things together, and we build a bond that way. And you can see this bond from a very young age. We spent this past weekend camping down at Garner State Park outside of San Antonio, and my sister and her husband and their two boys were there, and their ages 1 and 5. And it was so neat to see the bondhood that brothers begin to develop, the bond of brotherhood from a very young age. So even at 1 and 5, the 5-year-old would do things to make the 1-year-old laugh, and the 1-year-old really looked up to the 5-year-old. I don't know how many of you have dealt with bottle flipping in your household. If you've got kids, you know what I'm talking about. They take these bottles and they flip them and they try to land them. And if you're really good, you can cap it, set it on top of its edge. And well, the 5-year-old's really into bottle flipping. And the 1-year-old, seeing his older brother doing the bottle flipping, of course, he can't flip any bottles yet, but what he could do is take one of those little bottles and he could set it down. And the big brother would just clap for him. He was so proud of him. He loved him so much. They just had this special bond right from the very beginning. And I've had that with my brothers. If you have brothers and sisters, you know what I'm talking about. It's a very close and deep knitted bond that comes together. Scripture says, right, that there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That's a wonderful verse because it speaks to how deep the friendship is between brothers. That it would even be somebody closer than that is actually amazing, because that bond is so great between brothers and sisters. By way of application, in the last 10 years, I've had the privilege of working over at Wedgewood Baptist Church, just in a lay capacity, serving to disciple a group of boys on Wednesday night. And I've stuck with the same group for 10 years. And so just as an aside, not related to the text, but just as an aside, if you can stick with a group of young people in your church over time, if you can commit to do that, there is a great fruit that comes from commitment over time with a group of boys. So different boys have come in and out of this group over time, but it's the same core group for 10 years. Started in first grade, they're now in 10th grade. And when they were younger, I needed to relate to them a lot of ways, sort of more like a father to children, because they were only in first grade, very, you know, very childish kind of things going on. But as they've gotten up into the youth group, what I found is that I've been able to relate to them like a brother when I correct them. And this has brought a lot of blessing and a lot of deep conversations and deep interactions as we get together. And so I asked the boys one time, I said, you know, we've got a really special group here. As we get together every week and we talk to one another and encourage one another. And I said, as you've come in here, I want to just thank you, because the way that they've related to me is they have really given me the respect that you would give to a father. That's how they've treated me. But I said, you know, when I relate to you, I said, I've really been trying. Once again, I don't know how well I've done it. I asked them, I said, how well have I done this? When we've worked together, I've really tried to relate to you, not like my children, but like my brothers. And they said, yeah, Mr. Mark, you know, that's what you've been doing. That means a lot to us, that you're not talking down to us, right? When you talk to children, sometimes you have a tendency to want to talk down to them. When you talk to a brother, you're talking face to face, you're talking side to side, and you're encouraging in a different way. So we want to make sure when we correct the family of God, we watch our words, we want to make sure we encourage our elders, and we strengthen our siblings. Final point from the text that I want you to see is when we correct the family of God, we need to protect in purity. We need to protect in purity. Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, to the older women as mothers, and to the younger women as sisters in all purity. Now, there's not anything new under the sun in a lot of ways, is there? I mean, there's certainly new technologies and different things that come up, but in terms of the temptations and difficulties that we face in relating to one another, there always is a temptation for impurity to develop when we are relating to those in the church. And in particular here, I want to think about, certainly we want to have purity with all of our relationships, but in particular, dealing with those who are the younger, and the younger women in particular, especially if you're a man relating to younger women. And so we want to do this in all purity. Now, when I was growing up, my sister, who we spent this past weekend with, had a little difficulty that she had with her legs. And she needed to have a procedure done that helped her so that her legs would straighten out so she could walk correctly. And I'll never forget, I was 10, 11, 12 years old. She would have been, you know, 1 or 2 years old. And she had to have this procedure done. And so it resulted in the end, she had casts on both of her legs, if you can imagine it. And so we had to really protect her. We had to be very careful with her. And once again, with my dad being in the military, and he had different protocols and things, he would say, look, you know, we need to think through the different contingency plans, and here's what we do. And so he said, look, if a fire breaks out in the house, where we were at that time, my room was right next to my sister's room. If a fire breaks out in the house, you need to make sure that you get in there and you get your sister. She can't get out on her own. This is very important for you that you love and protect and take care for and honor your sister like that. Or, you know, he said, look, if there's an intruder that comes in the house. Once again, military dad, we figure out all the different things. If there's an intruder or something, I'm gonna be the first one to go in there, but I need you to get your sister. You need to get her out. You need to get her somewhere safe. And son, if it comes down to it, you're gonna need to fight to protect your sister. It's the kind of relationship and the kind of bond that we had. And over time, if you had a sister, I expect you probably had a similar kind of sense in your heart, a special place in your heart for your sister, how much you loved her and cared for her and would do anything to protect her, especially when it comes to purity and integrity and honor, that you would watch out in every possible way for your little sister. And that is the way that we want to make sure, as we're relating to one another in the church, that we are very careful to honor and to treat one another with impurity and with the respect that we need to have for one another. All right? So when correcting the family of God, we need to be sure that we watch our words. When correcting the family of God, make sure that we encourage our elders, like our parents, strengthen your siblings, and protect with purity. In closing, I want to share a name with you. And it's a name that I don't expect any of you other than my wife has ever heard before. And I think that when we get out of here today, I don't think you'll ever hear this name again. The name is Henry Ward. Henry Ward was the children's pastor at Hickory Grove Baptist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. When my wife and I were young, married, 22 years old, I was just out of college, I was interning at the church. We were having the privilege of working together in a summer day camp. I know you remember this day camp very well. Lots of different opportunities to teach children God's word, lots of opportunities to take them out into the community, do different ministry things, and even just have some fun together. And so when we were in this this day camp together 1 year, we'll call it 1997, I think, we had what is, I think, the bane of all children's ministers everywhere, and that is a lice outbreak, okay? Those of you that work with kids ministry, you know, this is not what you want to have happen in your day camp. And this wasn't just like a mini lice outbreak, okay? This was like a plague, okay? So they had to send home with every child to every family some paperwork that indicated, here, we have a lice outbreak. We've noticed it. You're going to have to take everything. Here's what you do. You go to the pharmacy. You got to get this special shampoo. You got to do it in this certain way. You have to use this special comb to get in there, and you got to get all the little eggs out of the hair. I mean, it is nasty business. And in fact, we had to do, you remember this? We had to actually get this shampoo ourselves, and we had to get our own hair washed out because we, you know, this was just a bad, bad situation. So we're doing all this, and it's been a kind of a trying week, a difficult week. Mr. Henry Ward comes up to me and he says, Mark, you know, I've been thinking, I know you're interning here at the church. I know you have an interest long-term in doing something in ministry. We don't know what it is at that point in time. But would you be willing to do the gospel presentation for the first, second, and third graders at the end of this week? It's the big final end of the week, you know, to get a chance to do this. I said, absolutely. I mean, I'm thrilled to do this. And glad. So thank you so much, Mr. Ward. I'll do it. You know, I'll make you proud. I'm going to do this right. So I'm thinking throughout the week, okay, how am I going to do this gospel presentation for these first, second, and third graders? And I'm thinking. And I'm all of a sudden saying, you know what? What was the biggest thing this week? It was the lice. okay? So I'm gonna make use of those lice in my gospel presentation. This is gonna be great. This is really gonna communicate to these kids. So I get in there, and the kids are all in here, and it's probably, you know, 50 or 60 kids. And I get in there, and I say, okay, kids, listen. You remember the lice? Do you remember the lice? Yes, yes, Mr. Mark, we remember the lice. You remember how they got in your hair and they crawled around in your hair? Yes, Mr. Mark. And what, they start scratching, right? And you can just see them, and they're just, and you remember how those, I said, look, sin is like those lice, okay? Those lice are like sin. Sin is like those lice. And I was just going. You need to understand that you cannot get rid of sin without Jesus. And listen, you just like you couldn't get rid of those lice without that shampoo. That was it. There was no other way. It didn't matter what you did. Now listen, the lice, they didn't just get in your hair, did they? They got on your teddy bears, right? They had to go in the bag. They had to get your sheets, your friends. If you shared your hat with your friends, look, sin has a way of getting everywhere, and you cannot get rid of this sin but only through Jesus Christ. And I'm going. And I said, look, eventually I end with this phrase. I said, you got to understand something. If you want Jesus to be your lice shampoo, I want you to come down front right now. And you come down right now. And we want to see, we're going to lead you to Christ right now. Well, guess what? It was a miracle. All 60 kids came down. I said, well, at my first 2 seconds, I was just elated. I was praising the Lord. A new Billy Graham has arrived on the scene at Hickory Grove Baptist Church. And I realized after 2 seconds that isn't what happened at all, was it? Those kids were so confused by this analogy that I could hear them out of my ears on either side. Miss Jennifer, I just don't want the lice anymore. I don't, you know, can you check me again? You know, there's, and it was a complete and total train wreck. It was a disaster. And I said, you know, I just knew right away I'd messed up so bad on this thing. And it was the last day of camp. It was a disaster sending the kids home like this. Who knows what they told their parents? And you know who this falls to. Who does it fall to? The children's pastor. He's got to clean up the mess that I created. So he had to have a lot of meetings with a lot of families about the difference between sin and lice and maybe a better analogy that would communicate with the kids better than I did. A few days later, I'm walking across the campus of Hickory Grove Baptist Church, and I see Mr. Ward standing over in the hallway, and he waves at me. He says, hey, Mark, come on over. Come on over for a minute. I said, yes, sir. I came over to him, and he got next to me side by side. Listen, he didn't get face to face with me. Do you understand what I'm telling you? He got side to side with me, and he said, you know that analogy about the lice? He said, that was a great analogy for adults. But that was not the best way to do this for kids. Let me tell you how you do this, where you make it really clear for children so you don't confuse them when you're telling them a picture like that. Yes, sir, I listened to him. And what he did is he followed 1 Timothy 5 to a T. He brought me right alongside. He encouraged me. He still corrected me where I needed it, but he gave me the encouragement that I needed, and he didn't strike upon me with his words. He spoke encouragement into my life. And I can tell you, this is 23 years ago. This is more than half my life ago. I will never forget the way that he treated me when he corrected me when I needed it. And if you and I follow what we see right here in 1 Timothy 5, someday, we're going to have the privilege and opportunity to be somebody's Henry Ward, too. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that it gives us everything that we need for being equipped to be ministers of the gospel. Lord, as we're young, and even as we're maybe older in the ministry, we know there are many challenges, many pitfalls, many ways that we can stumble and fall short of what you expect of us. But Lord, thank you for giving us a passage like 1 Timothy 5, helping us to see how to correct those in the family of God. And Lord, would you be so kind as to work in our hearts by your Spirit, that the next time that we find ourselves in a position where we need to correct someone in the church, maybe here at the seminary, that we would do this in a way that would honor you by treating those who are older than us like our moms and our dads, those who are younger than us like our brothers and sisters, that we would not strike out or lash out with our words, but we would encourage and call alongside, and that everything we do would be done in purity to the honor and glory of the name of Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.